fact, Tayshia is the freshest queen on the scene who owes her youthful good looks to the fact she's only 8 years old. After Lactatia managed to outshade Bianca Del Rio in a viral video, the editors of Elle magazine invited the petite princess to meet, on camera, one of her favorite queens. The mother has arrived herself, Vivacious.
In the video, you can feel the magic as this tiny queen, the creation of a Canadian boy named Nemus, sits down for a kiki with her drag, Shiro. Today, Vivacious joins us to talk about that one drag queen who cost her a gig appearing in Katy Perry's video, Taylor Swift's latest diss track, and of course, meeting Lactatia.
Plus, Madonna moves to Portugal, where all drugs are legal.
Argentinian police shoot down a narco pigeon.
Dexter Pottinger, the face of Jamaica Pride, is found murdered in his home.
And a judge says Richard Simmons can't sue tabloids because calling someone transgender isn't defamatory.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Season 3 of Cooking with Drag Queens is coming this Wednesday. Be the first to pledge and get access to a special Cooking with Drag Queens episode with Cynthia Lee Fontaine and exclusive interviews with the top drag queens of comedy. Go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and pledge this Wednesday.
Hello?
Mother!
What?
For the first time in history, my fan isn't next to me. I'm trying to sew ornations for DragCon. So instead of making the sound of having the fan to crack it, I decided to use my voice instead.
Oh, you went crack.
Right. As in release the Kraken.
Do people get disappointed when they meet you and you just don't have a fan in your hand ready to smack
I've never not had a fan in my hand. It's just that even though I knew you were calling, I started trying to run around in my room to figure out where the hell did I put the fan, because I was adding something to it. So between all the costumes and the fabric, she has hidden somewhere under Red October. So I'm still trying to hunt her down.
You can borrow my fan anytime you need to.
Well, I have a pink one, but it has like that, you know, that 5 feet of cloth in front of it that wavers in the wind. It's made out of silk, but it doesn't make the cracking sound. So it's like you can't even use that to do anything.
Well, that you can still, you know, cool down when the weather's hot. I know in San Francisco and L.A., it's scorching.
Yes. And I also heard from a friend of mine posted online that right now it is like pouring cats and balls in L.A.
How's the weather in New York? Is it good?
No, it wasn't earlier. It was raining straight through last night.
Girl, we have friends and family in Texas who are fighting for their lives. And hopefully we can throw a little sunshine down their way. I think the temperature here in Chicago today was 75 degrees, wasn't it?
I think it got into the 80s. It was a beautiful day. It was gorgeous.
It was sunny. It was so gorgeous.
Isn't Chicago the state that normally gets very, very cold in the winter that Gia Gunn's titties freeze?
It is. It's nice for a change, Chicago being the city with the good weather. Mm. It's just, that's what I'm saying.
The reason why I said it like that, because Gia Gunn has complained before that Chicago is too effing cold.
I'll tell you how cold it gets here. I'll tell you how cold it gets here, Vivacious. The Chicago Botanical Garden goes to Siberia to find plants that will survive in this climate. Because we have hot summers and we have very cold winters.
But while you guys are enjoying a wonderful 80-something degrees in the interior Losers Lounge, New York is suffering from 65 degrees.
Mm. Well, my heart goes out to those people out in San Francisco, because it's like it's 114 or something, people are saying. And it's like they're sleeping on their bathroom floors because it's like it's so hot because nobody out there has air conditioning. And then, of course, my heart goes out to all the people in Texas, too, who have just suffered through that terrible, terrible hurricane.
It's yes, the whole Texas thing is it's just really, really sad. I've been praying for them the whole time myself. Also, I also dropped off some clothing at the Salvation Army to try to get down in the Red Cross. They have a pickup section in my neighborhood.
I first heard that people were sleeping on their bathroom floors, and I immediately thought that was just an excuse for passing out drunk.
I mean, you could say the same thing. It's like saying go to Party City. You know, you think it's something else, you know, but it turns out it's something else also. I know what you mean.
You know, it's like sometimes you pass out drunk on the bathroom floor.
I've never passed out drunk.
Because it's cool and refreshing.
On the bathroom floor.
Because when you get drunk, you get hot. Yeah.
I actually can't relate to any of the above because I've never drank alcohol in my whole life.
Never?
Never.
Didn't you go to communion when you were a little boy in Jamaica?
No, you're only allowed communion at age 13 if you're going to get baptized to be in the church.
I heard that when they splashed some holy water, it started to scar your face. So let's talk about this amazing moment that this young 8-year-old boy named Nemes had.
Nemes.
Meeting you in full drag as Lactatia for Elle magazine. Did he know that he was going to meet you at all?
No, they did it as a surprise. And I knew for the fact that he was going to meet another drag queen, it was going to actually shut him down internally because stuff like that normally does happen.
Sure.
And, you know, so they asked him who would he wanted to meet. And they said me. So they asked me if could I come through. And I was like, sure, make the arrangements. And so I got there fully dressed. I was dressed as Princess Tasmania in that outfit that you saw, the orange one. And then I showed up. And what I realized was there was no need to walk into a room and be over the top flamboyantly loud because it's an 8-year-old at the end of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how flamboyant they might be, over flamboyance when somebody's in a state of shock will also still shut them down. And I needed Lactatia to feel comfortable enough for her to continue the interview to not shut herself down because she still had an hour to go even after I was done. And so if she got shut down internally, they would have not had enough for what they would need for the interview of her section.
But this is Lactatia that got up on stage with Bianca Del Rio, right? In Canada.
Yes.
And said that when they asked like who your favorite drag queen was, she was like Ginger Minj. So I'm surprised she didn't ask for Ginger Minj.
Well, let's be realistic.
Okay.
Most people can't afford Ginger Minj right now. She's a real celebrity. I am just a black celebrity queen. There's a big difference between the two.
Oh, so you think you were at the bottom of the list of the budget? That they're like, well, we can afford Honey, vivacious.
I'm at the it's like there's the budget, then there's the bottom of the budget, and then my name showed up, and they're like, we could get her.
Mm. Tell us what was Lactatia's reaction when you walked into the room.
When I walked into that room, Lactatia actually, she gagged internally on herself. She was actually stunned. And you could see her freeze up and like you felt the room as though it stayed still for a split second. So that's when I decided to go over to her and give her a hug, you know, just so she could realize that I'm a friend. And that could also then hopefully that could mentally start the dialogue of her again being as jovial and exuberant as how she was before.
Did you wear platform shoes at the time, or did you consciously try to like bring yourself down to an 8-year-old's eye level?
I toned my whole overall attitude and behavior down to an 8-year-old so that she didn't feel intimidated or overwhelmed. That was my intention from walking in because there was no need. You know, it's still at the end of the day, Lactatia is still 8. By presenting yourself more over the top to them, regardless of if they're in the same, we'll use a Jasmine Masters word, regardless of if they're in the same jush as you, it can still unjush them because it's, you know, it's still something that it's a new experience.
Yeah. What was the mother's reaction?
You know, I've never actually countered that part. I think the mother knew. Yes, I think the mother knew, but she did everything that day to try to play it off to make sure that Lactatia had no clue that anything was going on.
But I mean, when you walked into the room, was Jessica, Lactatia's mother, was she saying, don't worry, baby, it's going to be okay, or, you know, be nice to the drag queen?
No, nothing like that. Lactatia was actually set up on the couch, and she was doing her own section of her interview. I think she was.
And the mom was at the bar having a couple drinks.
No, there's no such thing like that. She's not even that type of a mother. She's actually a mixed martial artist.
Oh, shit. I better watch what I say.
Yes, you should watch what you say. And you know, it's like a lot of people are on social media like, oh, you know, this is crazy. An 8-year-old shouldn't be doing stuff like this. Just so you know, Lactatia's also in mixed martial arts. She's been taking it for 2 years.
Oh, that's how she got those voguing, those moves down.
And she's also in martial arts class. She's in martial arts class and voguing classes at the same time. The school that she goes to in Montreal is like an all-performance school. And so it's designed that she'll be in there from now until high school through to college. So by the time she's not 12, her voguing will be very tight, but by the time she gets to college, she will be like a mini RuPaul in terms of she now has studied all the arts.
Well, the interesting thing about the mind of an 8-year-old child is that it's a really magical place to be. You know, like I remember my niece when she was around that time, she would lose herself in dance and in theater and performance. And as they become teenagers, society pressures, hormonal changes, growth spurts make these kids very self-conscious. And as the child, as the person grows, their personality changes.
No, it's true. But here's the thing about all of that. When you get older and you hit your 25 and your 30s, you'll realize that all those skills that your parents had forced you to do younger comes in handy if you don't want to take a 9-to-5 job. It comes in very, very handy. I know many kids right now that have now decided to be music producers, etc. And that piano stuff, you know, came in handy back. It's now coming in handy now, and they're making good music and laughing at the people with a 9-to-5 job because they're now walking off with $35,000 to walk into a room to DJ.
Does Nemeth get asked a lot if he's gay? I mean, asking an eight-year-old child if their sexuality is kind of a ridiculous question. But I imagine that in the context of this, their sexuality gets brought up.
I'm sure there are a bunch of Republicans who like to ask those dumb questions. As for me personally, my philosophy is once a person in human skin decides to put on a drag name, that's the only name that I refer them to as, which is Lactatia. So I can't, that's just who I am. That's their new name. I consider the name that a parent gives you to be a slave name, the name that holds you bound to society as a drag queen or as a performer, and the stage name that you get is your name of liberation. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that tries to question her about stuff like that, but, you know, she's very advanced for her age. That much I have gathered from speaking to her, and I'm sure the people at Elle felt the same way, too, that this is not your typical 8-year-old. This is like 8-year-old going on 18.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, like, a lot of wisdom in that mother. And I'm just curious to know, like, what are the rest of the family's support system is like?
I think, yes, the husband's is there also. The only reason why he wasn't there for the interview is because if mom is traveling with Lactatia around, such as to go to RuPaul's DragCon coming up next weekend on the 10th or the 9th, you know, somebody has to stay home to make the rest of the bacon.
Yeah.
And the dough. So dad is back in Montreal doing all the wonderful stuff while mom takes Lactatia around the world based on those who want to meet her, etc.
I heard rumors that Lactatia and her mom, Jessica, are going to be showing up to your booth at DragCon this coming weekend.
I didn't hear that part, but I did hear, though, that they were asked to be on a speaking panel for DragCon. From what the mother told me, Theron was able to get them into DragCon. Me, I didn't personally bring it up to them that DragCon was coming around because I didn't know if the mother was up to, you know, she had just came from Canada back to New York and went back to Canada. I'm like, do you have that extra money to just be going back and forth in that sense, you know? So that's why I didn't bring it up to her in regards to DragCon. But somehow they found out about it, and they'll be back in New York. So I guess mommy's got money.
Because the concern that some people who are have very good intentions, very good wishes towards young Lactatia, young Nemus, is that this might be, and what is it? Was that musical when the mother pressures the daughter to be a showgirl?
Mommy Gypsy. Dearest.
Gypsy. Yeah. Gypsy Rose Lee situation where the mother's sort of living vicariously through the child. But I don't think this is the case here.
No, actually, here's the funny part about that whole story. It's the older sister liked to play dress up with Lactatia because Lactatia wanted to play dress up. So she obliged Lactatia to get it, you know. Lactatia wanted to play dress up. She's like, okay, wear my stuff. And so then she's like, I think I want a drag name. And so she came up with that name somehow.
Lactatia could be the next Honey Boo Boo. That whole family seems really fascinating.
I believe that Lactatia is possibly going to be the next Honey Boo Boo, but with a more stabilized family. Mom is very stable. Dad is very stable. The sister is very stable.
Do you think a TV producer wants to put like a stable family on the air or a dysfunctional one?
Well, you just have to play dysfunctional.
Well, here's the thing. Why do LGBT folks need to be perceived as dysfunctional for straight folks to accept the narrative of their
lives? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that like TV producers usually like to put people who are sort of on, you know, a little off their rocker. And because when we watch them on television, we feel better.
Yeah.
It gives good ratings.
And they just might look at Lactatia and be like, your family's too nice and too loving and you guys are too well adjusted. So sorry, next.
Well, I don't think there's going to be another Lactatia. That's just the truth. Yeah. The other one who comes up is not going to be as this. Lactatia is the real genuine article in terms of this is her decision. It's not mother. It's not sister. It's not somebody trying to go, hey, let's try to force this on you so we could try to get famous or something like this. This is all Lactatia on her own.
Mm. When you sat Lactatia down, you said, you are my replacement. What do you mean by that?
Easy. It's no different than, than as a queen, you get older and somebody later on comes to replace what you do. Sure. And I mean, I knew from age 5 that I was gay. Unfortunately, I couldn't tell my parents until I was 19. So imagine a Lactatia being off 8 years old, knowing that she wants to be in Hogwarts school for the crafts, you know, at age 8, which I wish if I was open to have been able to have done that. So I look at her as she would be the replacement of who I would be. You know, because
there's a lot of kids that are in the news that are like secretly waiting for that owl to fly in through the window to bring the letter to send them to Hogwarts. Mm. There's one, I believe it's one British girl who's suffering from chills because her mother's like, we need to close the windows at night. And the daughter is screaming, saying we need to let the owl
kid needs to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah, but you know, and that's the like the kind of a situation that a lot of kids really identify strongly with, this idea to become part of a larger cosmic tribe.
Well, somebody better tell J.K. Rowling she better get that school back up and running, honey. These kids are looking for a home.
Well, yeah, they certainly are. Did you hear the story about Disneyland Paris? There was a little boy who was 3 years old. He wanted to go to Princess for a day. And the people told him, like, no, you can't come. This is just for girls. And, you know, the mother was, of course, furious. And the boy, you know, loves to dress up like a little princess. Because, you know, you're 3 years old. Why wouldn't you want to dress up like a princess? It's super cute. And so Disneyland Paris, you know, they eventually apologized. And were like, oh, of course, you know, all kids are welcome to it. And like, well, you should have let that kid in then.
You know that if they would have gone to Disneyland in California, they would have been like, girl, come on in, honey. Would you like me to introduce you?
Kids are allowed to come in costumes, I think, to Disneyland, right? But it's the adults.
Oh, they market that. Well, yeah.
The adults are going to push for it. I think what it is at times it depends on which wrong Christian you speak to at Disneyland, you know, because the sad part is, adults like to try to interject their bad negative energy onto people and use that to try to morph them.
Sure.
And in the L comment section of the interview with Lactatia.
Oh, you went to the comment section.
Yes, I did.
Ideals. Oh, mio. No,
because I wrote, there's a whole bunch of sad, tired people out there trying to use religion and everything else to try to conform people. And the rest of the world is moving forward. And the world, the rest of us do not have time for all you people with your old, tired views of the world that you're holding dear to based on some old slave book, mean in the Bible. And I wrote that on the L page, and it's garnered probably so far over like 2,000 likes in terms of people like, yes, you people who came on this page to try to judge an 8-year-old, it says more about your character than it says about hers.
I got to tell you, Nemeth was me when I was 8 years old. I was homeschooling at the time, and my mother asked me, what do you want to, like, you know, there's all this adult continuing education at a university nearby where we lived. And she opened up the catalog and said, what kind of classes do you take? And I just thought it'd be a hell of a lot of fun to take cake decorating classes. And so my mother enrolled me, and I was basically the only boy in a class full of 40, 50, 60-year-old women. And so one of the women in the newspaper got a hold of it, and they brought in photographers and reporters, just like Elle Magazine with you, to my house and filmed me and photographed me making a bunny cake. And part of me was just like, hey, whatever, cute, you know, I'm having fun. But also part of me was mortified that other boys would see that and they would bully me because of it. And so my father was very encouraging about it. And he took the entire newspaper article and framed it. And to this day, it hangs in my mother's kitchen in Austin, Texas.
As an accomplishment of a young boy. That's hot. I like that story. That's a beautiful story.
And I would have loved to have a big black drag queen come in and say, you're my replacement. I would have been like, okay.
Well, in a sense, she is my replacement because, you know, she's going to grow up later on and she's going to be a fierce queen. She's going to be the replacement for many of us.
She's going to be your co-star in a lot of ways. You know, RuPaul ain't going anywhere and she's getting, and these young drag queens share the spotlight with RuPaul on RuPaul's Drag Race. And, you know, Lady Bunny is another silver fox. And right. It's really great that we can intergenerationally be together as gender and sexual nonconforming people.
That is true. That is true. I look on Instagram at times and I'm amazed at the amount of creativity that the gays are putting online in terms of they are breaking boundaries on fashion. It's like they literally make Anna Wintour look like Helen Keller at a molasses school.
And at what school?
Molasses, as in molasses that runs slow, as in she's so slow to get to the time to get in touch with the fashion and the latest trend that all these new gays are just throwing it out. You turn around every second and it's like boom, 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 boom. It's like some of them are doing 3 photo shoots a day, 3 makeup tutorials a day, 3 fashion outfits that they created for the day, and they're just throwing it out there and you're like, where is this? And, you know, and it's like, and then you look at the magazines and you're like, oh, girl, you're still presenting from 2016. These kids are giving you 2027. Get it together.
Have you seen the trend of squiggle eyebrows that doesn't, yes. I don't know if it's a trend or not.
Not only that, they did squiggle. So right as soon as squiggle eyebrows came out, they also then started to do squiggle lipstick around the whole thing. And I'm like, girl, that's not happening.
I think it looks kind of cute.
You know what it is? For a queen like me who can't actually do makeup, maybe I should squiggle and get away with it. It's like, what? It's a trend, bitch. Leave me alone.
Well, it certainly hides the tremors in your hands.
Yeah. I won't be touching that. I could see Detox doing it. You know, when she does her lower jaw going back and forth, I could see her touching something like that. She is that type of fashion forward girl. I'm just dinosaur savvy, so I won't be touching that at all. That's for, you know, Mm-hmm. I'll leave that to like the young queens, like an Aquaria or Miss, you know, or something like that, because them kids are young and they like to experiment. The Ryan Burks, the CTs and all of those other children, the Susan Barsh kids, they're all experimental children. They like to push the boundaries on everything. So I'll live vicariously through them. It's like, honey, I just learned how to do a cut crease. Let me live in my 15 minutes a cut crease.
What's a cut crease out there for the listeners that don't know what you're talking about?
A cut crease is that section of the eye that then gives it a little bit of darkness before you transition from the lower lid to the upper section. You know, something that every drag queen do to their faces, more so or less.
Well, I noticed that a lot of drag queens, and you know, this is really like thanks to queens like Roxy Andrews and Trixie Mattel.
She pushes the bar.
They've really popularized not blending your makeup and just kind of, especially Trixie Mattel's cheek contouring. It's this just straight line.
Right, because she uses that, some people uses that that curved thing to get it done. Well, you know, drag is subjective. What Trixie Mattel does is directly works with the marketing of her look. So she is in, you know, she's where she's supposed to be doing all of that stuff. I always try to tell people, I said, if you're going to try to do your makeup and you're trying to do drag for the first 500 times, try to copy Raven. And if you think you've mastered the Raven look, then try to move on to Delta Work, because Delta Work then has a more softer, blended look.
So DragCon is happening this weekend in New York City at the Javits Center?
I am beyond ecstatic. I don't sound like it because you're telling me that I can't talk loud on the phone because it's going to send the microphone spiking. Yes, Miss DragCon is in New York City this weekend, darling. It means that I get to see billions and billions of fans or haters, I don't know which one, or the Reddit lovers, whichever one comes first. I get to see, hopefully on setup day, some of my other sisters that I haven't seen in a hot minute. You know, so this is wonderful, and this is, you know, it's fabulous. And thank you, Mother Ru, for bringing DragCon to New York, because this black queen don't have $4,500 to traipse her black ass all the way over to L.A.
According to RuPaulsDragCon.com, it's RuPaul, Sasha Velour, Pharah Moon, Kim Chi, and Laganja Estranja.
But there's more. Like, a lot of the girls are having booths and photo opportunities. There's going to be panels.
From what I saw yesterday from a friend of mine online, Shangela is having a DJ in her booth. Two DJs. Oh,
shit. For some reason, they put that on the top tier, but like Bob the Drag, this is kind of shady. They put Bob the Drag Queen in the fold, like nothing in the main.
Well, he was
attraction.
Last season's winner. It's like now it's all, you know. Well, I think it's Bob's all Sasha, a huge Sasha, draw. Sasha.
Chad Michaels, another winner. Bibi Zahra Benet, another winner from season one. Bible Girl.
Right. Why are you mentioning Bible Girl? She's not a part of Drag Race.
I'm just reading
that.
What's on the screen. Acid Betty, Aja, Alexis Mateo, Carson Kressley. Yeah, I bet that booth is going to be real busy.
Jade's going to be there.
And Jade. Isaac Mizrahi, Ginger Minj,
Joan the Scammer.
I'm looking forward to Isaac Mizrahi and Joan the Scammer. Also, I will be in the ballroom tea room on a panel talking about the ballroom days also. And I think Michelle Visage is the moderator, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll be joining my sister Tyra Allure and a few other wonderful people. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
So Vivacious, what are you going to be doing at your booth? Because you've shelled out some dough for some booth this year.
Yes, I'll be selling some Ornatius. Here's the thing. Initially, I had no intentions on selling Ornatius for like two more years. But for some strange reason, every morning I get up, there is a huge influx of people going, hey, I want to buy one. And then at the point where I was not selling them, I would get up in the morning and it's like PayPal would say, you have money from a fan who paid for an Ornatia. So I'm like, okay, well, you might as well just start making them again.
I'm going to start calling you, what should I call you? I'm going to call you a hooker because you sell head.
Listen, honey, there is nothing wrong. Listen, there is nothing wrong with my head game. Okay. As a matter of fact, As a matter of fact, if I just want half the people that are going to DragCon to know that Ornatia will be in stall number 5. She's already got her drill. She's going to get there at around 8 o'clock in the morning. She's going to be drilling out one of the stalls between stall 5 and 4. And she's at 5, so she's drilling out between 4 and 6. So she is doing double action that day.
You're making a glory hole for Ornatia?
Yes, bitch.
Okay. I hope she has a good mouth.
Honey, Ornatia give you Dyson action, honey. You can't fuck with this bitch. Her head game is tight. So Ornatia will be in stall 5, and I'll be at booth 431. You buy your Ornatia from 431, and then she'll give you a happy ending in stall 5.
Faust and I are very excited to come to DragCon and to see you there, and to meet up with many of the listeners of the podcast and viewers of the YouTube channel, Feast of Fun. So we'll be there on the floor. Come and find us and say hi, and just, give me a $50 bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, you heard it here first. Feast of Fun is coming to RuPaul's DragCon NYC on the 9th and on the 10th, and you can find them. They will be going around interviewing some of you wonderful children. They will also be stopping by booth 431 to see me, hopefully. I'm sure they'll probably be meeting so many people that by the time they remember to come and see me, it'll probably be at the end of the day. But Feast of Fun will be there, so y'all make sure that y'all say hello and get in the zhuzh.
Honey, we call your booth an anchor booth for expos. Yeah. It means it's where we drop off our bags.
Bitch, I am not your maiden, honey. That booth is going to be filled with so much other shit.
Coat check, girl.
Bitch, ain't no. I need a place to ditch my stuff.
What? And also recharge your phone, right?
I know.
Oh, that's right. You're going to have electricity, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bring my charger.
Right. I don't see. As long as you don't like block the fans from trying to get in the back and take a picture. I don't want to say exactly what I'm doing because I just want to surprise people there when it happens. Cause it's like you tip your hands ahead of time. It's like, oh girl, you blew your best load.
So you have a special treat for all the people that come and see you.
Right. There's a few treats involved. It's like the gift that keeps on giving, and it's not herpes. So we have a few of those available for that day. It's my first time there. I'm popping my virginity at DragCon. I haven't been to any of the other ones before that. So I'm treading lightly so I could get a layer of the land and, feel it out. And I think next year I'm going to come back like Hurricane Irma, who's on her way to take out down south.
Well, I got to say, you're pretty good at keeping secrets because I had no idea the Elle magazine shoot was happening and your appearance on Saturday Night Live or with Katy Perry or the VMAs.
No, I like to keep things to myself. I believe Eisenhower, he had a phrase that says, speak softly and carry a big stick. And it's about, some people like to brag X, Y, and Z that they're going to do it. I just get up and get it done. Also, for the fans listening, on Saturday night at the Stage 48 show for Battle of the Runway, I will be performing the debut of my track, Ornatia.
Oh, that's not the secret you're keeping, though.
No, that's just, that one I'm putting out there because other queens have already been posting online that they're doing videos and other stuff that they're premiering that night. So you heard it here first. I'm performing my Ornatia track that night.
Did you have to pay a licensing fee to Ornatia to use her name in the video? I mean, the song.
Ornatia's her slave.
Listen, I own that black bitch, okay? She picks my cotton in the morning, and I pick her cotton, too. We work with each other. We're good.
Did you see that video that's going around of this guy? He went on a field trip. He's an African-American guy. I think he's a comedian. He's telling this story. And his school, white teacher, takes him out with all the kids. Most of the kids are black. Gives them a bag, like a plastic bag, sends them out into this cotton field at this plantation, said, pick all the cotton you want. right? Because that was their experience for the day of what it was like. And so they went out and they picked all this cotton, and he thought, well, heck, you know, I got this whole big bag of cotton now, you know, this is kind of cool. I can't wait to go home and show it to my mom. So the teacher didn't let them keep the cotton. They had to turn the cotton in. And so the kid went to school, or he went back home and told his mom about the day, and the mother just went through the roof and went down to the school and be like, how dare you send my kid out into the cotton field, make them pick cotton, and then not even let them keep the cotton.
And not only that, to top it off, he didn't even get paid for the cotton that he picked.
No, not at all.
Who kept the cotton?
I guess the plantation.
Oh, no.
Honey, that's called regurgitated slavery in the modern age. Okay, it's like we're going to use this as a field trip and get all these kids to help pick the cotton, and then you drop it back off to Massa, and he's just processing that, going, "Thanks, kids. Now I could make that new Serta bed again."
Well, do you think cotton plantations are going to get in the business of schooling children to pick cotton? That's a lot of kids.
Under Betsy DeVos, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Oh, Lactasia!
Do they even pick cotton by hand anymore? I would assume that they would have a machine.
Machines,
I would
assume.
Well, no. Yes, Eli Whitney, which was a black inventor, created the cotton gin.
Right, but that's for processing cotton. It's not for actually picking cotton. I do believe.
No, it actually picks the whole thing.
I would defer to Wikipedia to that.
I'll get back to you on that.
I'm gonna have to YouTube on that too. Let's go get some research.
like Wikipedia, you go to YouTube. The Vivacious. Did you hear? Richard Simmons was suing the National Enquirer and Radar Online because they said that he was transitioning.
Yeah.
And so he was saying that it was a slur because, you know, just transgender people are discriminated against, and so, you know, you've besmirched my name by calling me transgender. Well, a judge has come forward and said that no, that's not a valid reason to.
So the National Enquirer can speculate whether somebody's transitioning or not.
So technically speaking, the National Enquirer can be smirched under a Trump administration, because that would have never happened under any other administration.
But there was a lot of speculation with Caitlyn Jenner when she was before she announced anything. And her mother, Caitlyn Jenner's mother, actually is the one who sort of was
outed her, I guess.
Outed her. Well, you know, they were also leaking a lot of information to get the press talking. Whereas in this situation, like, Richard Simmons seems to genuinely want some privacy.
Well, and the judge said, well, as a practical matter, the characteristics may be held in contempt by a portion of the population, talking about trans people. The court will not validate those prejudices by legally recognizing them.
Amen.
Because they were saying that she was Fiona. And Fiona's a terrible...
Richard Simmons has every right to privacy and do whatever he wants, and I abhor any podcast or news source that draws hounds him down.
Yeah.
And shame on you for being whoever you are, guest on news or podcasts, or for gaining legitimacy to hounding down a poor man who wants just a little privacy.
That is true. Mark, by the way, you are right. You have to first pick the cotton before we could get to the cotton gin. The cotton gin doesn't do the whole thing.
Because the cotton has that little kernel, that little nut on it. And I think that nut has a little bit of oil on it.
You said nut.
Yeah, I said nut.
Don't get excited here.
Don't get too excited. And I think also that nut can squirt something too.
Said squirt.
Is gin the kind of gin you drink have anything to do with the cotton gin?
No,
it's just the name of a machine.
I'm not interested now.
Yeah. Did you hear Madonna says she's moved to Portugal? She's living in Portugal now.
I wonder why she would make such a move, because I'm like, sweetie, it's better in London. It's like, girl, they'll mug you in Portugal. No tea, no shade.
Well, Portugal, though, I think the cost of living in Portugal, first of all, they have fantastic weather. And remember, she's getting a little older, and older people like good weather.
Yes.
The cost of living is lower, but also, too, you live in, you know, these beautiful European places. And all drugs are legal in Portugal.
She could get her human growth hormone on sale.
I think someone had sent me that link today that said all the drugs in Portugal are legal. The reason why I was actually gagging over it is because there's a festival from America that's called the BPM Festival that's going to do their next one in Portugal. The last time they did it was last year in Mexico, and it got shoot up by the drug cartel. And now they decide to move it to Portugal and the drug is free. Do you know how many crackhead Americans are going to go over there and get fucked up on those drugs?
Hard drugs, soft drugs, all drugs have been legal in Portugal for at least a decade. And as a consequence, the HIV infections have plummeted. Because they have excellent healthcare system and people who are addicted to drugs can get the treatment that they need. And they're not worried about being sent to jail.
Yeah. And it's also that, you know, when you make things illegal, there's a stigma surrounding that. So people don't seek treatment. But if there's no stigma around it, they're like,
people
hey, you know.
Open. It's true. It's true. It's true. A friend, I believe also a friend, one of my older friends, when he first came out of the closet back in the early 1988, his parents got him a therapist to speak to him about, you know, different diseases and stuff like that. And by him having that knowledge early, he's been able to transverse that whole section up until now without catching anything because he had the prior knowledge, you know. And do you remember about a few weeks ago, there was a guy. They had, I think it was Teen Vogue had did a thing on how to, on anal, how to prepare for anal and
sex,
right. And everybody else tried to like eviscerate Teen Vogue for it. And he, and one of the writers for Teen Vogue said, if the Catholic Church was not so shy about speaking about sex, he would have never caught HIV. Because since it's not a, you know, this country has a very big problem on teaching young kids about sex. Sex education is like a taboo in this country. So if you don't teach it, people are going to go out through the back doors and find out about it the wrong way.
Back door.
You know, they always say what don't come through. They always say what doesn't come through your front door will come through your back door. You know, so since the Catholic Church won't come through the front door or any of these institutions come through the front door and teach kids at a very young age about sex education, these kids are going to go out the back door and get to find out about it any way that they can. And it happens in a huge percentage, it happens in an unsafe manner. You know, and then there's a recourse afterwards on how to deal with it and treatment and, you know, and maintaining a life.
Yeah. Well, again, like that's kind of like with that drugs is like that's once you remove the stigma around those kinds of things, people are more willing to talk about it and make better choices.
Yes, it's true.
Meanwhile, in Argentina, police have shot a carrier pigeon that was delivering drugs to people in jail. So I guess
that's common. That's common. They've taught like parent pigeons how to transport drugs.
So these little pigeons have backpacks on them, and the police found it. It was containing 44 pills of the sedative Rivotril, 7 grams of marijuana, and a
that's
USB
fierce.
Drive.
What
that
was on
is
the drive?
Fierce.
Let's just say porn. Gay porn.
Well, and they just did a study too. You know, with sex, they talked to they interviewed Americans and Europeans. Vivacious, guess the average number of people that an American has had sex with.
6, because they're too conservative.
7.2, where Europeans are 6.2.
In their entire life?
Okay, hold on. Let me explain something. One night at the Sound Factory back in 2001, 6 guys fell into my throat.
Oh yeah, you have the nickname Jaws.
Yes, and that's how I ended up with the nickname Jaws. Okay, that would be me. You look me up in a Wikipedia, bitch, you'll see my mouth open. So if I'm doing 6 in one night, and that was just one weekend, I mean, child, please. That 6? Honey, I've lost count, and I don't have a problem losing count. But even though I've lost count, what I didn't lose was all the videos that I recorded off everything.
Oh, shit.
Those are on that carrier pigeon's USB drive.
Yes, bitch. Somebody hijacked my hard drive and was sending it to Argentina, honey.
when you say you lost count, would you say you lost count somewhere around 500, 1,000, 2,000?
I probably lost count after 700.
Let's calculate how many people Vivacious has sucked. How long? What was your first blow job?
Age 19. Yes, this would be a fierce quiz.
Okay, so here we go.
Where's the calculator?
Well, I got a calculator. Okay. All your computers and phones have calculators. Okay, so how do you mind telling us how old you are today?
We can't say. I'm 19 now, so.
Well, no. Let's just 43. Say, okay, so you've been sucking dicks for 43 years? Well, 19. So 43 minus 19 is what?
24.
Okay. So 24, and how many blowjobs do you give? Like, let's divide the year into four seasons. Like in the spring, in the summer, in the winter. Like, how often do you blow a guy a month?
Okay. Well, the last six years does not count because I've actually been celibate for the last 6 years. But up until those last 6 years, I was a hoe.
Okay, so 19 minus 6
is
18.
It's 13.
Oh, 19 minus 6.
19 minus 6, right? Is that what we established?
Well, we were at 24.
Sorry, 24 minus 6?
Yeah, it's okay. 18.
Who's doing the math? Are you going to do it?
I'm telling you, it's 18.
Okay, so 18 years of sexually active. And so that's the number we need to multiply. Now, we just need to calculate how many people did you, on the average, have sex in a year?
Maybe about... 1 year. I remember 1 year it was 7. I remember 1 year it was 12. So I would go with the means, the middle number between. Bitch, I'm not that thirsty. No, a year.
So that's not that many. Let's say on the average it was 10. It was about 180 people you've had sex total.
Right.
I know some people have had sex with 180 people in a year.
Let me tell y'all a Kiki story. I had a friend, 2010, we had to go to the Winter Music Conference. I left from JFK to go there, and he left from Newark Airport. We actually were on the same JetBlue flight that landed the same time in Miami at 3:02. The guy person who was taking me decided to take my friend also, so we went down to South Beach for the Winter Music Conference. My friend, in the space of 1 week, slept with 27 bottoms.
Jesus.
In the space of one week?
In 1 week. As a matter of fact, the first day that we landed, she met four guys and promised them that one was coming at 9, one was coming at 10, one was coming at 11, and one was coming at 12. And that actually did happen. The next day, at 12 o'clock, after she was done at 12:30, we went to score to because I had to host and work that night, and she came to Kiki just hang out. And while I was waiting for the shows to while the DJ was playing, and I knew that my showtime was going to be at 2 o'clock in the morning, in between 12:30 and 2 o'clock, she fucked four other guys in the bathroom.
Wow. I guess 27 in a week. That's only that's 4 a day, 5 a day. Do the math.
Right.
I don't have my calculator.
Here's the key. When she lived in Hell's Kitchen, right, which is like the mecca of all gay men, the bitch would just walk out the house and take a boy right back inside. And it's like, one day I called, how many did you have today? She said, 9.
Atta girl.
I'm like, good for you. But I told her this. I said, but the thing that I liked about her was every time she slept with a person, if she was walking down the street and she saw him, she'd go, I fucked him. I fuck him too. I fucked that one too. So I always like when she outed them to me, because it means that's not the motherfucker that I wanted to fuck with. Because there's an old line from Lolita Holiday in one of the house songs she did. It goes, I don't want nothing that's yours. I don't want nothing that looks at you. And that's the line. And so that's my philosophy when it came to her. I don't want nothing that's hers, and I don't want nothing that looks at her. By the way, after being 6 years celibate, I am back to being a virgin and a saint. So my name is now Saint Vivacious.
Well, are you going to start having sex again or no?
I don't foresee it anytime soon.
No?
No, I'm just I'm just trying to concentrate on trying to get from A to Z. That's how I am right now.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. The problem with me dating somebody, and it's always the same problem that I have, for the fact that even before Drag Race, I worked in the straight scene. So these kids look at me as like a mini celebrity. Hey, Vivacious works with all the big name DJs. Vivacious in the DJ booth. Vivacious can throw people out of clubs. Vivacious can walk through the front door with 25 people and they all get comps and drink tickets and all this other stuff. So I look at, like, you know, so those people who see you and they want to be a part of what you're doing on a sexual level, they also want to then try to use words to try to conform you into what they want you to be. And I'm a free spirit. You're not going to, you know, call me on the phone and just because I don't return a message because I'm trying to sew a costume. Mm-hmm. You're like, fine, you don't want to talk to me. Peace. We're done. You think I'm going to go stop my son, my cousin, and go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't see a text message. Hey, what's going on? Oh, please don't dump me. You don't use words to control my horizontals, verticals, and diagonals. I'm the type of person, you tried that shit with me, honey, I kick you out the motherfucking door faster than you could say your name. And so this last straight boy tried that with me the other day before we even met. And I'm looking at the text messages and I'm like, really? You're going to try to use words to try to make me conform to your jargon? I'm not that hoe. I am not that Christian lady. I'm like, so I refuse to answer him. So that's the reason why I also don't, you know, I was like, just go back to being celibate, because it's always people who think that they need to use words to try to put me in a box, to try to control me, use mental words to, like, we need to keep her on a leash somehow. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm a free spirit. I'm going to get up and do what I want to do when I'm ready to do it. And you're not going to tell me how it's going to be done. You're not going to use a word to try to think that I'm the most freest slave that you've ever met. I'm a white woman. You will not tell me what to do. I'm
a rich
that
white woman.
I'm a white woman of color living in Harlem. You don't want to fuck with this.
All right. Let's talk about Katy Perry, who's in hot water. I want to wrap this up here. So she released her single, I guess, Look What You Made Me Do.
That was Taylor Swift, honey. That's not Katy Perry.
I'm sorry. That's why I was reading the wrong. Taylor Swift, Look What You Made Me Do. She released a single, mm-hmm. which seems to be her still mad at Kim Kardashian for publicly offering up proof that she had given Kanye permission to mention her in his song Famous. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Swift vehemently insisted that she actually never did so.
Now, check the shade. Did you know that Taylor Swift decided to release that video and that song on the day that Kanye's mother died? That's how petty the bitch is.
Do you think she actually knew that tea? Was the day that... Who knows that when Kanye's mother... How would she even know that Kanye's mother died that day?
This is because it was on the news when she went in for surgery. I think she went in to go get like a butt.
That was 10 years ago!
But when you're coming last every day is a crisis.
Mark, have you ever met a single white female? There's a reason why they call them single white females. Those calculated white bitches. Trust me, honey. Taylor Swift is one of them hoes, girl.
When you're Kanye West, every day is a significant day. Mm. Okay? So, but anyways, one article in the New York Post is saying that, you know, Taylor Swift actually sends a very bad message to her fans, which is basically reconciliation is never an option when you have a broken friendship or relationship. All her songs are about, except for Shake It Off, are all about, you know.
She goes after her old boyfriends if she breaks up with them in the
Jake
next
Gyllenhaal,
video.
Or breaking up with Jake Gyllenhaal is We're Never Getting Back Together. And the song, what is it, A Bad Blood, is about her bad friendship with Katy Perry. Because I guess Taylor Swift hired some dancers that were dancing for Katy Perry. And then
she wanted them back.
And Katy Perry fired the dancers or something like that. And you know, it's like, it would be nice if Taylor Swift sang I'd Like the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony.
But she's trying to sell some drama is what she's trying to do. And I think that's, you know, and people like her music.
It is, after all, a business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's a diss track, right?
But all of Taylor Swift's music is diss tracks.
I mean, Swish to me felt like it was a diss track.
Definitely.
I felt that Katy Perry handled the words. Whoever did that track for her, they did it quite masterfully for Swish. I love the beat behind it. I like the whole reference and the meaning. When I first heard it, I'm like, oh, she is reading somebody for coins, honey. Yeah, I'm like, that's very cunty. I like that.
But I felt like the Saturday Night Live performance was really wonderful and affirmative in some ways. It was this, right. It was the same meaning as like, you know what? People are going to be saying nasty shit about you, but they're going to miss the basket. They're going to go into the casket and you're going to continue, you know? And the video celebrates these nonconformists by showcasing them, and she kind of stands off to the side, sort of like a circus ringmaster, showcasing these people.
Right, which was lots of fun.
Whereas, Taylor Swift's video is basically like, it's zombie Taylor Swift, she's not here right now, you know? It's like,
because she's dead, and now everybody is using those lines and making memes about it. It's like, Vivacious is not here right now, she's dead. It's like Ornacia's not right here right now. She's dead. Vivacious is here.
You can't kill a vampire.
Yeah, you can try. Holy water.
Crucifix. Honey, a crucifix or something, but they're the undead.
Something. You know? Yeah. Now let's talk some other tea. Technically speaking, the New York girls were hired to be in the Taylor Swift's video of Swish Swish. However, some queens from out in LA must have gotten a bad offer in terms of, it wasn't a bad offer on Taylor on Katy Perry's end in terms of compensation. And so that person did not give the proper messages to the LA queens. So those LA queens went online and dragged Perez Hilton into the fray and then made it look like Taylor Swift, Katy Perry is trying to get drag queens to work for free. Mm-hmm. And that was not the case in any way, shape, or form. And then Katy Perry decided that she didn't want to deal with any queens. And so the New York girls lost out on the ability to be in Katy Perry's video because of LA bitches.
Oh, so that one queen in LA who said that everybody did the Saturday Night Live thing for free cost them gigs in the real video. But that doesn't, because the people that did the Saturday Night Live thing, they did get paid, and so that drag queen did retract it. But if she's
let me tell you something. First of all, the minute we got there, everybody went through an agency to get that gig from Katy Perry at Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. It was done through a proper agency with proper pay. Every day that we were there for rehearsals, there was Katy Perry's assistant taking different information, as in, please bring your forms today. Please bring your passport. Please bring your non-driver's license and driver's license. Please clock in your hours for today. Please clock in your hours for tonight. Please clock in your, you can also include your lunch hours as part of your thing. Normally some places would say your lunch hour is not a part of it. That's your own time, you know, and they made sure everything was taken care of. Put it this way. Katy Perry did her video on Saturday Night Live, right? On Saturday.
Yeah.
By the time Wednesday came, everybody had their checks. So whichever fool said have a seat.
If she didn't want you for the video, so she's, because some drag queen in LA complains that you guys didn't get paid, and you guys did get paid, and she's going to punish you girls by not having her in the video?
No, you're misunderstanding what happened. You just said two different stories. Okay. In terms of the queens from LA, whoever conveyed to them about to be in the Katy Perry video didn't convey to them that it was a paid gig. So those queens went online and said, how dare you try to hire queens and don't want to pay them to be in your physical music video. And so what made it worse was when that queen then dragged Perez Hilton's name in it to try to make the spice spot much worse. Mm-hmm. So think about this. I worked for a gay club owner in New York City called the Sound Factory. He fires based on groups. So if one person in the bartending staff fucked up, everybody that was a bartender is fired, and he would replace all the bartenders with a new set. You are your brother's keeper to a certain extent. When one of the drag queens that I worked with in the Sound Factory bit off one of the patrons' fingers, all nine of us were fired at the same time collectively.
Wait, until somebody bit off somebody's finger? What did you
do? Oh, yes, bitch.
She was hungry.
She was hungry, honey. She was Haitian and she was hungry.
But did it taste good?
Honey, I heard it tastes like hummus. She bit off the guy's finger in a fight. He pushed her down. He called her a faggot, pushed her down the stairs backwards, and Chloe got up and beat the shit out of him. She beat him three ways back to slavery and three ways back to Harriet Tubman, honey. She sent him onto the Underground Railroad and back. She destroyed him and then bit off his finger. And that's when they learned, don't fuck with black queens in a club full of white straight people. But the owner, who is gay, until the police investigation was concluded to find out who was at fault, they had to fire everyone. So if I'm Katy Perry and I've reached out to a whole bunch of queens out of the goodness of my heart, and you then try to turn what I'm reaching out to you for and try to turn it into a media mess on me to make people hate me, you're damn fucking right I'm not hiring none of you fucking bitches for my video. That's not being petty. You didn't clear up. You didn't do your language properly. Katy Perry would never intentionally reach out to any queen to do something for her if she wasn't going to compensate them in any way.
But that queen wasn't even involved. Why would, like, that's like a crazy person at the side of the road screaming something, and I got to lose my job because this person said something over there.
Well, that queen was reached out to be a part of the physical music video for the one that just came out with the basketball, where Katy Perry was sitting on the pyramid. We were supposed to be in that video, but for the fact that some queen from LA fucked up and decided to go make a scathing remark on Katie, they decided to move in a different direction. So
I gotta tell you, though, man's rejection is God's protection, because that music video is pretty atrocious. Yeah. It's missing Vivacious. It's missing those drag queens.
That video is fully missing. Listen, they really had a good direction for that video with the drag queens involved. And so at the last minute, remember, you book a time to do a video with X, Y, and Z person. You're still on that time. You still have to present something, you know. Otherwise, Katie probably would have lost out on the amount of money that was already paid to have everything set up.
Sure.
So then they had now a few hours to come up with a different reinterpretation of that video. And they then had to go and find a whole bunch of other, because, honey, I mean, the people who they had on that video trying to play looking like drag queens, looking like hot messes, that was not a cute, you know.
It was not cute. It was disrespectful, because we all knew that you guys should have been there. And when you weren't there, it just felt like a slap in the face.
Well, listen, whoever that artistic video person is, they had to come up with an alternative. So thank God, still either way, that they were able to come up with something on such short notice for being, you know, it's like, I'm really, really tired of people going on social media and think that Katy Perry's a punching bag to them. It's like, what did she do to anybody? If they are pissed that, you know, she used to be a hardcore Christian and then she left that world to the secular world, and that butt hurts them so badly, get over yourself. I used to be a Christian too, and I turned out fine as a fierce old queen.
Now, I gotta give props where props are due, and Katy Perry did work with the backpack kid, Russell Horning from Lawrenceville, Georgia, who swings his arms.
Which I'm pissed about, because, you know, Katie, it's like, me and you, we had a good bonding, girl. You should have called me. Even if you didn't call them other hoes, you should have just, like, Vivacious, we're flying you in. Screw them other bitches. You know, I was like, girl, I thought you had me. But, you know, a drag queen is still a drag queen. It's still a broad general term. And one of them messed up in the process, which cost us all a good gig, cost us all a good pay.
You because, need to take her out.
Well, are you talking about the backpack kid? Ain't nobody mess with the backpack kid. He's wonderful.
Talking about the drag queen,
I'm talking about the drag queen section. I'm really happy that Russell. I Got Bars was able to be on it, because we were supposed to be on that video and we were looking forward to it, you know. And then, and you know, had they only kept it to the New York girls from the beginning, this would have never happened, because the New York girls, put it this way, I didn't even know that other girls from New York was contacted until after the LA section blew up completely, and then they send us a final email and said they're going in a different direction. Then and only then the New York girls came forward and said, geez, somebody messed up so badly that we lost out on that opportunity. And then we all started talking, and then we realized that, oh, we were actually all contacted to be in a video. We all kept so quiet about it. We didn't tell, I did not call anybody, and no other girls called anyone until the whole thing was rescinded. Then we all owned up to the fact that we were contacted. And that's how I found out that it wasn't just me that was asked to do that video. It was everybody from New York. They were going to be flown out and taken care of.
And just for the record, that drag queen that did say that actually later recanted and said, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted it. Is that correct?
I decided to not follow the story after that whole thing, because I'm like, OK, you know what? You know, it's like if it was a New York girl, I would have paid attention to it. But it's not a New York girl. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't care who it was.
Well, you know, the only solution here is for Taylor Swift to hire y'all's and be in her video. Really stick it to Katy Perry.
Y'all are shady. I am not playing that bounce around. I mean, listen, I'm a good hoe. I will go wherever the port needs be, but I like all those girls equally. So I'm not there to be, you know, I'm not there to singe hair and push one against the other in that sense. I like them all.
I just want to say, if Taylor Swift came to your house with a nice fat check, you'd be like, mother is cashing the check.
First of all, I was like, mother is packed. Okay, mother is packed. Is at packed. The airport. Okay, mother is at the airport. Mother has arrived to L.A. Mother is at Taylor Swift's house. Up chop, please.
Hey, so you're going to be at DragCon this weekend. That's Saturday and Sunday.
And Sunday, and on Friday,
September on the 8th and 9th, correct?
No, it's the 9th and 10th. And on the 10th, which is the night after DragCon, the same night as DragCon, when DragCon is over, are the performances of the 12 girls from Drag Race at Stage 48. So, y'all children, make sure you got your tickets. If I'm correct, I think everything is sold out so far. So, for the children who hesitated, good luck.
You can hang out with us.
I guess so.
We don't have tickets, so I'll hang out.
I might see what's happening in Bushwick that night. I think some Bushwick activities are happening. I don't know.
I think Latrice and them are going to be at the Beacon Theater performing for there's a show that they did recently. I think the Most Hated Tour or something, or the Haters Roast. Latrice is doing the Haters Roast. And then I think the day before DragCon, Sasha Velour is doing something with the Ali Forney clinic, and she has 30 of New York drag queens working with her. And if I'm correct, I think the donation price at the door per person is $250.
That's New York. I'm not
sure. No, but 30 queens, you know, and Sasha did say from the beginning that if she won, she was going to be working with a few LGBT centers to get stuff done. And true to her word, Sasha Velour has kept to her agreement. Mm. And I think this is her third one. She's used the platform that she has down in Brooklyn, and she's been doing some wonderful things and donating the money. Sure,
and it's such a wonderful organization, too, because, you know, New York is such a mecca for LGBT kids throughout the nation to kind of escape a lot of the terrible conditions that they're in. So it's super important that we just take care of them in those big cities.
Even the ones that come in from New Jersey.
You leave Michelle Visage alone. She has nothing to do with this traveling bitch. You tried it.
You know, since you're from Jamaica, I'm going to bring this up, and I really wish I didn't have to. But did you hear?
I heard about that. The head guy of the LGBT organization in Jamaica was murdered.
Dexter Pottinger. You know,
his name is Dexter, if I'm correct. I didn't want to read the whole story because it was heartbreaking, and, you know, it hits very close to home, because it's like, you know, it's like my father's in Jamaica right now. We are not on speaking terms. The last time I spoke to him, he told me I should burn in hell for being gay. And I'm like, really? You just said that out of your mouth on my birthday. So at that point, you know, to read what happened to Dexter, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like Misunderstood once asked me, what do you think of Jamaica? I'm like, blow it up with a bomb.
Oh, my God. There's good things about Jamaica.
Jerk chicken.
Grace Jones, Jamaica.
Grace Jones.
Ginger Beer.
Christmas. Connie Girl. Cheryl Lee Ralph is also from Jamaica. Yes, those are also great things, but they need to break themselves out of that slave mentality and that book that told them that homosexuality is wrong. And you have to understand, let me tell you how fierce a Jamaican is. If you told the Jamaican, I will pay you $100,000 a month to work at a gay facility, guess what it'll say? Me nah work with no Batman. Okay? Jamaicans are that fierce when it comes to their convictions. You cannot deter them.
I have a lot of friends who are Jamaicans, including you, and they're all super nice people.
Well, whatever.
These are not the stoner Jamaican. These are not the Rastafarian.
These
ones.
Are the mean ones These that are, don't get high.
Right?
Well, no, you can't say Rastafarians because Rasta is its own culture and religion. It's not a broad-based thing. You know, just because you put on a piece of dread on your head don't make you a Rasta. You know, it's its own culture and its own set of people, and they're a tribe down there, and they know exactly what they're doing, etc. Jamaica's very broad when it comes to that. But no, just regular Jamaicans alone, they're just so caught up in, you know, it's like a hive mentality, a horde mentality, a gang mentality, and they're so, you know, it's like if you take away the Bible from them and show them that the Bible is fake, it feels as though that you've destroyed the foundation of their beliefs. So rather than having their foundation be shaken, they would rather kill you first.
Well, let's just, you know, pass the duchy on the left-hand side, smoke a bowl, chill out, and just everybody say love.
Love.
If only that was the case.
Yeah.
It'll happen one day. You know, it's like...
Well, that's why I'm making Ornatius to use Ornatius to spread love, honey.
That's right. It basically, it works with the radioactive eyeballs that shoot beams of love. And love is an acronym for laser, orgasmic, ventricular energy.
Vivacious energy.
I like that. That would make a fierce track. Laser. What was it?
Orgasmic. Lasmic. Vivacious. Energy.
Love.
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 Laser. Orgasm.
Isn't vivacious also an acronym?
Yes. Yes.
What is it for?
What does the letters in vivacious stand for?
You know, it's so funny. I did it a very long time ago, and I have not. I completely forgot.
I think you may have done it on a podcast. We'll have to go back on the list.
I think I did. I think I might have done it, and I completely forgot. It's been such a long time that I've done it. Because right now, I'm writing a few tracks right now. What happened is, I'm not waiting for producers to get back in touch with me to write music. I'm doing it myself. So I've written the first one. I actually produced the whole Ornatia track from head to toe. Mark heard parts of it before, I think. Fausto did as well from Feast of Fun. I'm talking
you
to
me?
You.
This show,
I'm
right
talking
here.
About y'all in the third person, like you're not even here.
Who's
this Fausto bitch? It's like, I want to backslap her. They heard a part of that, but then what I did was I send it to a friend of mine that knows how to master, and it's now mastered. So that's what I'm going to be debuting at DragCon at the show. It's going to be my second number. The first
make sure you master your tracks, but also slave bottom them as well.
What does that shut up, bitch. I don't listen. If you're going to talk about slave bottom, you need to go have that interview with Bob the drag queen. I'm not her.
Oh.
What is on blast, girl?
She's going to be like, what? What did she say?
You keep my name out of your mouth.
Exactly. It's not mouth. It's M-O-U-F. Mouth.
Mouth. Because you got some things in that mouth already.
It's like, take my name out of your mouth, bitch. Yeah, no, but it's... So the next track that I'm working on is for the fact that I'm also a DJ. Uh-huh. So the track is called Dancing DJ. It's called Dancing DJ Drag Queen Diva.
Mm.
That's hot.
Dancing DJ Drag Queen Diva. I bring the beast. I bring the beast, make you move like Shiva.
And maybe Katy Perry can be in your music video when you're on Saturday Night Live, and then because of a contractual dispute, she won't make it to the MTV music video. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
It's getting late. Vivacious, we should say goodnight.
Hey, Vivacious, Cooking with Drag Queens Season 3, our Kickstarter, is kicking off this Wednesday.
Oh, congratulations and wonderful. After we get through Drag Race, through Drag Con, I keep saying Drag Race. If you need me to go online and threaten a whole bunch of Chick-fil-A's friends to donate money, let me know. I think I can shake $3 out of the vixen. She's got money. I know she does. You can't look that fierce without $3, bitch.
Mm-hmm. She's got gigs these days.
Mm-hmm. She's working.
Good for her.
The vixen bitch is the vixen rich bitch.
Well, she probably ended up taking all of Shay's gigs now that Shay's too busy trying to travel the planet. You know, it's mm-hmm. Shay's literally walking into every bank going, I'd like to make a deposit.
Well, a lot of people say, it's like, how do you manage to get these queens on RuPaul's Drag Race to be on Cooking with Drag Queens? And I'm like, the mass majority of them actually went on to do RuPaul's Drag Race after doing Cooking with Drag Queens. We get tomorrow's famous drag queens today.
So the moral of the story is, for all you bitches that want to get on RuPaul's Drag Race, you need to do Cooking with Drag Queens first. Duh. Hint, hint, hint. Y'all better be calling Fausto and Mark, honey, if y'all Chicago queens want to get down there. You know what to do.
Well, the key is the thing is, though, too, is what, you know, producers from shows like that look for is they look for people that do things. So if you don't do this, do something else, but don't sit around and don't do anything
and then complain.
It's like you have to get out there and make yourself available. And also, too, it's, you know, we have I think it's the same with like guests that come on the podcast. People come, you know, the fact that they do the podcast shows that they're interested in doing other things and are willing to work with other people on different
also,
things.
Also, by doing a podcast, Drag Queens, it gives RuPaul an insight into are you a person that can handle questions that are thrown at you at last minute without you getting all twisted and trying to beat up the commentator asking you the questions. RuPaul needs to know that you have an even cerebral brain and you're not some triggered queen who every question is you trying to come for me, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is a litmus test by doing Feast of Fun. It'll also help you grow as a human being. Mm-hmm. So you should probably show up to Feast of Fun so, you know, these boys can prep you how to handle the real world the next time you get interviewed.
Hold on a second. You make it sound like we're, you know, torturing you. We're feeding you hot fudge ice cream sundaes.
No, listen. You have to understand. A lot of queens put on drag for different reasons, but also a lot of people who, you know, some of them don't know how to handle being put on the spot in a split second.
Yeah.
But by coming to Feast of Fun, it helps give them a mental floor plan on how to handle things out in the real world. Or if Miss RuPaul is listening or looking at you mm-hmm. to see what your personality is like, you know, imagine you come on Feast of Fun and you have the personality of let's see, who's a very
likable drag queen?
No, not so much likable, but a girl who comes on and her interview is like a bummer, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but we've had people that were kind of like not liked on the show come on this show and were very likable. Like I thought Fifi was really charming when she came on the podcast, but she didn't do very well on Drag Race. And also Gia Gunn, I thought was very charming on the podcast, and I actually liked
Gia
her.
Gia Gunn and Fifi are mm-hmm. very charismatic. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I think Fifi O'Hara is one of the fiercest fucking queens that's ever stepped foot on Drag Race and she's very underrated. If people can't understand that she's a competitive bitch and she wants to win, get over their little thin skins. You know, I don't blame Fifi for what she did if they thought she did anything. Fifi was on a mission. Fifi came to win and she was not taking any exceptions but a damn crown. Fifi wanted that money. That's just plain and simple as that. If people take it the other way and want to call Fifi's names, is that shame on them because they're losing out on meeting an actually very fierce, creative queen.
So where can people go support Cooking with Drag Queens, the Generation 3? This is Fry Harder. So we're going to be frying a lot more shit. And we're tweaking with the format, experimenting. We're getting out of our comfort zone. And if we get up over our amount of $20,000, we're going to turn this into a cooking drag queen competition where the queens battle each other and are judged by celebrity cooking judges from television.
You know,
we actually have them already planned, but I don't want to announce it.
You know who you should bring on the show to cook?
Who? You.
Juju B versus Kimchi, honey, because Juju B will kick. Well, she will cook you under the damn table. Juju B is no fucking joke.
Oh, she's
you should
a joke?
Get into her. Oh my God, honey, Juju B, she's like the food whisperer and shit.
I would love to eat anything Juju B makes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, just the name Juju B alone, but Juju B is a fierce cook. She's no fucking joke. You know,
it'd be nice to have some of the queens actually cook for us for a change.
Well, you know what? You should speak to his name is Chris LaPorta. One second. His name is Chris LaPorta.
What are you doing there?
That sounds like parts for your head doll or Nisha parts.
No, in the kitchen, because the minute I said, you know, y'all should do X, Y, and Z, I decided to go take out a thing of frozen fish because I haven't eaten dinner yet. And I'm like, I need to steam this bitch.
Yes.
Feed it to a queen. I've been sewing and cutting costumes all day, and I have not eaten anything. And I'm like, I need to go steam some. I don't fry fish. I steam the bitch instead.
Sous vide. She's a microwave job, that girl. Shit, honey.
No, I'm trying to thaw it. I'm trying to thaw it down a bit so I can steam it because there's 8 pieces in there that's frozen like Madonna.
Well, the Vivacious, I hope you enjoy your fish dinner, and it's been always a pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait to see you in New York.
Definitely. Looking forward to seeing you guys at DragCon. How are we going to try to get an interview done with all, like, you might have to just try to stick around, and if there's a gap in between, because, listen, I spent money on that damn booth. I'm trying to get every damn penny back.
We'll just do a couple minutes. It won't be anything crazy.
It's a minute or two. Yeah. We don't do like an hour thing. Yeah.
What if you try to come in early, let's say on either the Saturday or the Sunday before everybody else gets there?
If they let us in the door, we get in there at 10 a.m. and we'll be in line with everybody else. Mm-hmm. So
I'll try and see if I can get my pick up my media badges on Friday night so we can just walk in the door.
Right.
We'll see, though.
Yeah.
Vivacious, you know, I absolutely love you. Guys, check out Vivacious at DragCon. Mm-hmm.
Get your Ornatia head via PayPal.
Get your and Ornatia will give you head in the bathroom afterwards. She's next to the Miss Pearls booth.
Okay. All right. Bye bye, Vivacious.
Catch y'all later. Bye.
Bye. Ooh, she got hungry during this show.
I'm starving too.
What's all that talk of a head?
I'm starving, Mark. When do we eat?
You gotta feed the people.
The people got to eat. Mm-hmm. And how do they do that?
You go to Kickstarter.com and search for Feast of Fun or Cooking with Drag Queens, and we'll pop right up. And remember, it starts on this Wednesday. If you're gonna support this pot, or if you're gonna support Cooking with Drag Queens, do it this Wednesday. Make your pledge that day, because if you get a significant bump, Kickstarter really goes, "Hey, what's happening here?" And then they promote it more.
And we have some gift levels that are limited items. Mm. So if you want to get them while they're hot, you go to cookingwithdragqueens.com. It's going to redirect you to the Kickstarter page. And you're going to get to see our Cooking with Drag Queens video with Cynthia Lee Fontaine, where we make a Puerto Rican casserole lasagna called a pastelón, which is a lovely shepherd's pie layer of plantains, sweet plantains, shredded beef, spinach, and mashed yuca root. It is scrumptious.
It is so delicious. It's one of my favorite dishes. And actually, I just made it like about a week ago just because I was like, I need to taste this again.
And I feel like in some ways we've forgotten how wonderful and charismatic and beautiful Cynthia Lee Fontaine is. And, you know, editing this video with Talia, the editor, and just watching these really rare moments, behind the scenes moments of Cynthia Lee getting ready for the Puerto Rican Pride Parade here in Chicago. And just kind of following her around in her apartment, and just how much she has a zest for life. This mm-hmm. person has so much passion and so much wisdom and kindness. And it's something that we sometimes forget mm-hmm. in the heat of the drag race battle.
Yeah. And so such a great sense of humor and so much charm. And you don't always see that when you see them on television. But it was a pleasure to spend that time with her and to see her work and perform.
And only people who are donating to the Kickstarter for season 3, cookingwithdragqueens.com, get to see the video mm-hmm. first before everybody else mm-hmm. does. In fact, we have a lot of really amazing goodies. We have interviews, backstage interviews, with the drag queens of comedy. That's Alaska Thunderfuck, Sasha Soprano, Willem Belli, talking about why DVW... I think I got that
DWV.
Right.
DWV.
DWV, not the DMV, mm-hmm. split up. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the third version I've heard, but I'll stick with this one.
You know, it's a pretty acceptable version.
Yeah. And it Willem might be the final version.
Is in rare form. Mm-hmm. Peaches Christ, Heckalina.
Jackie B.
There's footage of you. I'm not sure.
Bob the Drag Queen.
You're eating Heckalina's ass in this video, or how does it work exactly?
What?
There's video of Mark and somebody's face getting somebody's butt.
Well, you'll just have to see the video to find out.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. It's some of our best work, and it's only going to be in the coming weeks exclusive to people who support Cooking with Drag Queens Season 3. You get to see it before anyone else does. And only at cookingwithdragqueens.com.
I also remind people, too, that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today. Or if your Plus member has lapsed and you want to sign up again, or you're having any difficulties, just email me at mail@feastoffun.com and we'll get it all straightened out.
Mark, I want to thank you so much for doing the podcast with me. I love all your jokes, and I love your wisdom, your wit, and your sexy ways.
Oh, thank you. And there's so much about you that I admire, I couldn't even list.
Like what?
Well, your humor, your charm, your hardworkingness.
My charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent.
All of it.
I paint with all the crayons in the box, mm-hmm. and I cook with all the spices on the rack. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.